Chapter 16, Winning Big. I've been winning a lot of money very quickly. Gabe and I are sitting in the coffee shop, looking at his iPad, which is displaying properties and billings. Things are moving beautifully fast. Can it really keep up? My bets are consistent, between 10 and 20,000 per game, usually one game a night, on a rare occasion, two. Much to the delight and surprise of Gabe, I have had five straight nights where I've made no bets at all. But Gabe is not the only one noticing. Jimmy, Bill, and Jake, who all work at the Mirage Sportsbook and are fine fellows, have noticed my restraint, and I can tell from their faces that they are not happy. It isn't the money. They've seen me win much more in much less time. I've never made them break sweat. But this time, I haven't been playing like a loser, and the boys at the book don't like this one bit. Where's the old norm? Sweating, pacing, wincing, losing. Who is this reasonable man making these reasonable bets? Gabe and I agree that tomorrow I will pay off my Mirage marker, take my profit, and move my action over to Caesar's Palace. But I have one last bet to make before we go. An hour later, I'm in line at the sportsbook. I have been up all night studying the lines, and I've discovered a trend that I don't think any of the big boys have seen. This is when you can make serious money. My plan is to bet higher than my regular bet, since Texas looks like a lock. I decide to bet $30,000 on the underdog Rangers, which would net me 75K and change. But I never make that bet. I never make that bet because Providence steps in at the last second. $10 million in Fernandez, a man whispers. Certainly, Mr. Gardino, another man whispers. In the line next to mine stands a hulking man whose expensive suit makes him look no less a brute. He reaches the front just as I do and opens a suitcase filled with chips, which the teller begins to painstakingly count. I look up at the board to see who this mafioso is betting on. Fernandez is a boxer, and he pays 11-1. This guy is betting $10 million on a huge underdog. That's good enough for me. I empty my pockets. $360,000 on Fernandez, I say. Jimmy looks at me suspiciously. I'm going to need authorization for that, he says, and he makes a call to the back office. Moments later, the head of the sports book, Jake, comes out. You sure you want to bet this much, Norm? He knows if I win, it will pay $4 million. He also knows I have been winning consistently for a week. What he does not know is that once I win this bet, I will never make another wager as long as I live. He thinks a good long time before finally rapping the top of the table. Okay, book it. Good luck. The fight isn't on for another 4 hours, so I wander over to the poker room and sweat Gabe for a bit. I decide I'll give him the business. Oh, I bet it all, Gabe. I had a hunch. I wanted to get a rise out of him. Oh, God, this never would have happened if the chips were in the safe where they should be. What's the bet? It's a boxer. His name's Fernandez. A guy from the other side of the table hears me and lets out a big laugh. Fernandez? That bum has a glass jaw. He won't last 30 seconds. Gabe checks his iPhone. He's even money. Yeah, I say. He is now. The line tends to move dramatically when a guy from the mob bets $10 million. You're kidding, says Gabe. You saw this? Yeah. That's why I got my bet in at 11-1 while they were still counting his ton of chips. Gabe smiles. Lucky man. Thanks, Gabe. That evening, I invite everyone I meet in the casino to my room, and we settle around the giant TV screen. We have shrimp cocktail and beef on skewers and bowls of ice cream and tumblers of scotch and cigars and women and just about everything a man could want. In my hand is a ticket that will soon be worth $4 million, much more than my goal. I get my realtor from Billings on the phone, and we talk for a good hour. I explain I'll be needing a bigger ranch, and I explain I will be needing an arsenal of weapons to keep the bad people away from the ranch. After I get off the phone, I conference with Adam Egitt in the corner to explain in detail what his duties will be on the ranch. Before I can finish, the fighters enter the ring. The man announces the challenger Fernandez's name, and my hotel room goes nuts. The ref is giving his instructions to the fighters, and I notice how calm Fernandez is as he stares his opponent down. We all rise to our feet as the bell sounds to begin round one. Fernandez moves in quickly, and the other fellow hits him and knocks him out. The hotel room is silent for a moment. Then I scream as loud as I can. I grab a pillow from the sofa and rip it open, sending feathers flying. I hit the wall as hard as I can, and there's a huge hole where my now broken hand was. I grab the glass table in the center of the room and overturn it, sending shrimp and ice and nachos and drinks spilling onto the carpet. I run over to the counter where the liquor and glasses are, and with a backward swipe of my arm, I clear it, and broken glass flies everywhere. My guests shield their eyes and try to find the door. There's a great deal of noise now as people stampede out of the room. Now it is only me and Adam Egitt, who is sitting on the edge of the sofa. "What's the problem, buddy?" he says. I kick him as hard as I can in the shins and race down to the sports book. "What the hell happened?" I shout to no one and everyone. Jimmy smiles his wry smile. "An 11-1 dog lost. It's been known to happen, Norm." "But Jimmy, what about that mob guy? He bet $10 million. Jimmy laughs. "Oh my God, Norm, why didn't you ask me? That was no mob guy. That was long shot Louie. He bets anything that's 5-1 or better. He's got so much money, he doesn't care." "Long shot Louie," I said. "Long shot Louie?" "Yeah," says Jimmy, in his calm, seen-it-all voice. "Hey, speaking of long shots, you been watching a ball game? Nobody saw that coming." In a daze, I look up at a TV screen and see that the Texas Rangers are ahead 5-1 in the ninth. I get the boys and we check out to go over to Caesar's, and I'm seething. Gabe keeps saying, "Man on tilt." We finally get there, go through the whole procedure again, and get $300,000 in chips. This time I make 15 bets on baseball games for $20,000 a game. Hours later, I'm lying on my new bed, hugging my new pillow. Adam Egitt sits in a chair beside the bed, sweating hard and staring at me. Gabe enters. "Hey, pal, I heard you've been flipping coins. What's the damage?" That's what Gabe calls it when you make a bet that is 50-50, except for the juice. He calls it flipping coins against a really lucky guy. Adam Egitt jumps to his feet. "Gabe, he lost 15 straight bets. What are the odds of that, right?" I wish he hadn't asked, because I know Gabe will know the answer. "About 1 in 30,000, he says. And this gets Adam Egitt excited, and more sweat drips down his big squid-billy head. "Then he's due, right, Gabe? He's due. I mean, what's the chance of him losing another?" "A little more than 50%. "But that makes no sense. He's due." "Don't tell me. Tell the coin." I tell them both to scram, and I lie there, wallowing in my man-made pride and cursing all that is good in the world. I pick up the phone. "You guys got any Wild Turkey 101 down there?" Yes, sir. Send up all you got. 5 weeks pass.